The reading comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, commencing at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, and it's 22 to 40. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Candlemas, there always used to be a dinner, didn't there? There was a social on Candlemas. Judith is trying to avoid my gaze at this moment. And obviously it didn't happen this year, probably because of COVID, but I hope that one day it might be resurrected by the next generation. But it's also, Candlemas is also known as the Feast of the Presentation of Christ, or for our Roman Catholic friends, the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's an important day in the Christian calendar, commemorating the presentation of Jesus at the temple. And it's only recorded in Luke. So in order to fulfill the law, and at the time of purification, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to present him at the temple. And it is the Messiah's first visit to the temple. And in our passage, there are two encounters. The first is with Simeon, and the second with a prophetess called Anna. And I'm just going to focus on the Simeon encounter this morning. Well, I was away on retreat this week for a couple of days, and I was reflecting on the godless nature of our country. I was also sort of reflecting on how pretty much impossible it is for Christians to attain any kind of high office politically, at least if they are open with their faith and attempt to speak prophetically. I remembered what happened to Tim Farron. Do you remember he was the leader of the Liberal Democrats for a very short time, but a really good man, and he expressed his Christian views, and he lost his job in less time than it takes to say the Houses of Parliament. And then with us remembering the Holocaust last week, my mind focused on why it is so important for good people to speak out. And I wondered what the future of our liberal democracy is. Where are the men and women of God who will make a stand? And we have in these verses the history of one whose name is nowhere else mentioned in the New Testament, a just and devout man named Simeon. We know nothing of his life before or after this moment in history. We're only told that he came by the Spirit into the temple when Jesus, as a baby, was brought there by his mother, and that he took him up in his arms and praised God in words that are now very well known indeed. We see in the case of Simeon how God has a believing people, even the worst of places and in the darkest of times. You see, religion was at a very low ebb in Israel when Christ was born. The faith of Abraham was basically derailed by the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The joy and hope of God's chosen people, through their disobedience, it has to be said, became very dim. Yet even then, we find in the midst of Jerusalem a man just and devout, a man who had the Holy Spirit upon him. Isn't it a wonderful thought that God never leaves us entirely without witnesses? Small as his believing church may be sometimes, the gates of hell shall never completely prevail against it. The true church may be driven into the wilderness, be like a scattered flock. I remember preaching on that a while ago. But it never dies. There was a Lot. There was a Lot in Sodom. There was an Obadiah in Ahab's household, a Daniel in Babylon, and a Jeremiah in Zedekiah's court. And in the last days of the Jewish church, when its iniquity was huge, there were godly people like Simeon, even in Jerusalem. True Christians of every age need to remember this and take comfort. And it's a truth that we're prone to forget. And in consequence, we could be swallowed up, like I was on my retreat at that moment, in despondency. "I only am left," said Elijah, "and they seek my life to take it away." But God answers, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." So my first point is that there will be Simeons around us, even in government, that God will use according to his divine timing. It's hard to believe. It's hard to have faith in this, but we must, because it's what the Bible shows us. Let us believe that grace can live and flourish, even in the most difficult circumstances, and that there are more Simeons, and Annas for that matter, than in the world than we suppose. That's a truth we need to hold on to for places like Afghanistan, North Korea, the persecuted church. And I think it's a truth borne out by what we see, that the churches survive despite such heinous prosecution. So my second point is the example Simeon sets us of his faith. We see in the Song of Simeon how completely a believer can be delivered from the fear of death. "Lord," says old Simeon, "now let your servant depart in peace." It's obvious he has absolutely no fear of death, does he? He speaks like one for whom the grave has lost its terrors and perhaps the world its charms. He's ready to go. My 94-year-old mother has COVID, and we've often sort of, black humor, I admit. We've sort of joked that, with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, when she gets COVID, that's going to be it. But no, she's as strong as an ox, and she's hanging on in there. But she is looking forward to being reunited with her Lord and Savior. The grave has no terror for her. She's an inspiration to me. And Simeon wants to be released from the miseries, I guess, of this pilgrim state of existence and to be allowed to go home. And he's willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He speaks as one who knows where he is going when he departs this life. Someone once told me that a clergy friend of theirs said it's much easier preaching at a Christian funeral than a Christian marriage, because you always know how the funeral is going to end. You know where the person is going. With a marriage, you're never quite sure, are you? And here Simeon shows us he knows exactly where he is going when he departs this life. The change with him will be a change for the better, and he desires that this change may come. Now, what is it that can enable Simeon to feel like this, to speak these words? What can deliver him from the fear of death, to which so many of us are in chains? What can take the sting of death away? Well, there is just one answer to that question. Nothing but strong faith can do it. Faith laying hold, firm hold of an unseen Savior. Faith resting on the promises of an unseen God. Faith, and faith only, can enable a person to look death in the face and say, I depart in peace. It's not enough to be weary of pain and sickness and ready to submit to anything for the sake of a change. It's not enough to feel indifferent to the world when we have no more strength to engage in its business or its joys or its pleasures. We must have something more than this if we desire to depart in real peace. We must have faith like old Simeon's. So politically incorrect describing someone as old, isn't it? But it's what the Bible says, so I'm happy to keep on calling him old. This faith, Simeon's faith, is the gift of God. Without such faith, we may die quietly, but dying without such a faith, we shall never find ourselves at home when we wake up in another world. And finally, I just want to step back for a moment and reflect on the wider context of this passage. Candles this morning, and thank you to Jerry and his huge team for all the organization this morning. But they are a very visual bit of our liturgy today. And they've been a very visual reminder of the significance of Candlemas. Our liturgy has helped us remember that Christ comes as a light into a dark world. The Old Testament reading for today was in Malachi, who prophesies this moment. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And then we're told that he will come to be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And then we're told why they needed refining. Because of the sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, those who defraud laborers of their wages, those who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the foreigners among you of justice, because they do not fear the Lord Almighty. You see, Jesus came like a light into a dark world 2,000 years ago, and he comes to us today as the same light. The light that banishes darkness and restores hope and brings healing, forgiveness, and ultimately, through the shedding of the Messiah's blood on the cross, cleansing of our sins so that we can once again have a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus is that light. But the truth is that many of us still have dark places in our lives, dark recesses in our hearts, places where we don't really want the light shining, as it will only lay bare our sinfulness. Places we want to leave undisturbed because of the pain involved in letting the Holy Spirit in to bring his healing. So today, as we surround ourselves with candles, let us commit to giving Jesus full access to every part of our lives. Not just, as it were, letting him in the front door, but saying, Jesus, here's my living room, here's my kitchen, here's my study, here's my bedroom, here's the spare room, here is every nook and cranny of my soul. I invite you in by the power of your Holy Spirit to bring healing and hope in my life. Let his light shine into us, to give us hope, but also conviction for our sins, so that through true repentance, we might have eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come to us today as light in the darkness. We come before you and fling open the doors of our hearts and invite you in afresh. Lord, as we struggle with hopelessness, with illness, with grief and bereavement, confronted by our own mortality, we invite you in to bring new life. In Jesus' holy name, amen.